This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
This month in the news, getting closer to Pluto, primordial stars, and a rocket mishap. Since its discovery in 1930, the celestial body we know as Pluto has always been shrouded in mystery. Its existence had been predicted through its effect on Uranus's orbit, and in the early 20th century, astronomer Percival Lowell embarked on a search for what he called Planet X. When it was finally discovered, the news made headlines around the world, and it was named after the ancient Greek god of the underworld. After it was found, and declared as the ninth planet in the solar system, astronomers slowly began to realize that Pluto was quite different to the eight previous planets. It orbits the Sun in an eccentric, inclined path at an average distance of roughly 39 AU. Its distance from the Sun varies by quite a bit during its orbit, though. At its nearest, 30 AU, Pluto can be closer to the Sun than Neptune. Furthermore, its mass, at first thought to be similar to Earth's mass, was slowly revised downwards over time. The discovery of Pluto's moon Charon in 1992 enabled an accurate measurement. This so-called planet was but 0.2% as massive as the Earth. This was nowhere near enough to explain the perturbations in the orbit of Uranus that had originally motivated the search for Planet X. The subsequent discovery of numerous further trans-Neptunian objects in the Kuiper Belt orbiting the Sun was the final nail in Pluto's status as a planet. Eris, discovered in 2005, was a new object which was found to be significantly larger than Pluto. The following year, the IAU, the International Astronomical Union, formally defined the term planet, and this definition excluded Pluto, which was reclassified as a dwarf planet. Much ink was spilled over this decision, but it still stands today. Due to its great distance from us, no spacecraft had ever attempted to visit Pluto and the other trans-Neptunian objects, and so unlike other planets, we don't have any good images of what Pluto looks like. This is about to change, though, as NASA's New Horizons probe is about to perform a very close flyby of the dwarf planet. Launched in 2006, the craft has taken 9 years to travel nearly 5 billion kilometres, aiming to explore the region past Neptune containing dwarf planets, which is known as the Kuiper Belt. On July the 14th, the probe is set to zoom by at a distance of merely 12,500 kilometres, giving us our best ever images of the planet. The craft has already been sending back images as it gets closer and closer, using its two onboard cameras Lori and Ralph. It also has instruments for detecting any potential atmosphere Pluto might have, making use of UV, radio, and thermal emission. As of the 2nd of July, New Horizons was around 14 million kilometres from Pluto, and it sent back intriguing colour images showing large spots on the surface of the dwarf planet, along the equator. These latest images are in true colour, showing that Pluto has a slight reddish tinge to it. The craft has also detected frozen methane on the dwarf planet's surface. The signals from New Horizons currently take 4.5 hours to transmit back to Earth, and the craft effected a final burn on the 1st of July, altering its trajectory for the flyby on the 14th. It will be going much too fast to enter orbit around Pluto, but its cameras will have plenty of time to snap away at the surface, potentially revealing details less than 100 meters wide. The mission will thus provide a treasure trove of data for planetary scientists and will bring Pluto out of its icy isolation. Planet X will be unknown no more. In other news, astronomers have discovered so-called primordial stars in a distant galaxy. As Carl Sagan famously said, "We are made of star stuff." What he meant by that is that all of the elements that make up a human were synthesized in stars from the most basic element, hydrogen. As stars evolve, they produce heavier and heavier elements, with various fusion processes going all the way from hydrogen up to iron, and nuclear fission and radioactive decay giving us the elements that are heavier than that. Pretty much every star that we see nowadays contains several metals. Astronomers call everything heavier than hydrogen or helium a metal, as the universe is old enough to have synthesized plenty of these elements by now. Theoretically, the very first stars would have been made purely of hydrogen and helium with traces of lithium, as these are the only elements that can form without stellar nucleosynthesis just after the Big Bang. However, these stars would not have lived very long and would have seeded the universe with heavier elements, like carbon and oxygen, when they reach the end of their lives and explode. Astronomers now think that they have found some still extant examples of these stars, observing a very distant 800 million-year-old galaxy, which is only about 6% of the age of the universe, using the Subaru telescope on Mauna Kea. they found light from the Cosmos Redshift Galaxy, or CR7 for short, a reference to the famous Portuguese footballer, that was indicative of the presence of ionized helium. Now, this would mean that the source was hot enough to also ionize any carbon or oxygen present, but they didn't find any spectral lines that would indicate these were there. So this means that the light was coming from first-generation stars, also known as Population 3 stars. The finding is particularly interesting and somewhat difficult to explain because the galaxy hosting these Population 3 stars also hosts a second generation of stars containing heavier elements. One explanation that the astronomers have come up with is that these stars were late bloomers. They could have formed from a cloud of pristine hydrogen and helium that was prevented from collapsing by the heat of other primordial stars, and was only sufficiently cool to coalesce into stars much later than the others. This observation also suggests that more primordial stars could be found in other galaxies. The search is on. Finally, the commercial spaceflight company SpaceX, owned and run by billionaire Elon Musk, suffered a setback on the 28th of June as its Falcon 9 rocket, carrying a Dragon capsule full of supplies for the ISS, disintegrated mid-flight. This is the third failure of a resupply vehicle in the past calendar year, with an Antares rocket crashing seconds after launch last October, and a Russian Progress 59 cargo spacecraft crashing in April. While rocket science is never risk-free, this has cast a bit of a shadow on the public perception of the viability of regular space travel. SpaceX's rocket is the basis of its planned manned vehicle, which will carry astronauts to the ISS under its contract with NASA. As a new era of manned spaceflight is dawning, with the ultimate goal a trip to Mars in the 2030s, commercial space-going companies are going to under more scrutiny than ever before. Here's hoping that they can rise to the challenge and make spaceflight accessible to all.